The Last Kids on Earth and their superhero alter egos are back in the latest installment of the graphic novel spinoff series, The Last Comics on Earth, Too Many Villains. Jack, June, Quint, and Dirk face their biggest challenge yet, creating the sequel to their hit graphic novel in a mad dash, puzzle-filled race across Apocalyptia to stop the biggest evil plan in history. Hey, you know what the creators of Last Comics on Earth's evil plan is? Make me and my kids love these books. Seriously, my younger kid is a huge fan of both the Last Kids series and the Last Comic series.
It's true.
And now I'm hooked too. The whole team has created a delightful cast of characters with some fantastic kid-friendly art throughout that will appeal to readers of all ages. Buy your copy of The Last Comics on Earth in stores today. You can also visit lastkidsonearth.com to learn more. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we have got a special guest for you today. He's the creator behind the new Transformers 1 from Skybound and Image Comics, Daniel Warren Johnson. Daniel, welcome.
It's me. It's me. I'm drawing a Batman cover.
I'm so behind.
I hope it's okay that I draw while I talk to you guys.
That's great. At work. I love it.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. I'm also drawing a Batman cover right now. So,
yeah.
Here,
I'll show you.
Oh my God.
That's awesome.
Cool. That's very cool. Great interview. Thanks for coming on. Yeah, appreciate it. That's all we wanted to talk about.
He looks bummed out. He looks bummed out, Batman.
Yeah, he always looks bummed out. Look, when you run out of ideas, you draw a bummed out Batman.
Well, why don't we jump over and talk about Transformers? And I'm going to give a spoiler warning here at the top. It's on stands now. You should go. You should check it out. We're going to get into full spoilers. But I do want to ask a general question first, because this is part of the greater Energon universe that kicked off with Void Rivals going into Transformers. We're going to get a Duke title from Joshua Williamson as well. How did they pitch you on this? What was the idea? Do they say, hey, did you want to do a Transformers title? Do you want to do something as part of an interconnected universe? How did it start?
So my editor on Extremity and Murder Falcon, Sean Mackowitz, gave me a call. Yeah. He gave me a call and he said, hey, we got the license. And because I had known that they had been going for it for a while. I did some spec art for Skybound when trying to get the license. And he called me. He's like, we got it. And hey, I'm just throwing it out there. Would you be interested in writing and drawing Transformers? And I was like, oh,
I love the slow play. Like, so Christmas morning, it's coming. Like, it's very much like a fun surprise.
So I didn't actually say yes right away because, you know, it was a licensed comic, which come with challenges. I mean, and I was working on Do a Power Bomb, and I was having a time in my life, you know, drawing it, and
showed.
Yeah,
you definitely showed in that book.
I was also getting very tired. I was like, I think I might want somebody to tell me what to do for a little while, because I put so much of my heart and soul into Do a Power Bomb. And I was not burned out. I just, you know, after Do a Power Bomb was over, I tried to work on my own stuff again, like my own creator on stuff. I just couldn't get any of the ideas to start forming. So after a while, after thinking about it for a little bit, I called Sean back and I was like, you know what? Let's freaking do this. And it's about time that I finally learned how to draw Optimus Prime's face.
That's amazing. Well, I wanted to ask you about that, actually, in terms of drawing Transformers. You're clearly going for, it feels like more like classic cartoon look here, but it feels like they're tricky, right? Because they're very boxy. How do you get the characterization out there at the same time?
Yeah, so I found that... that was actually one of the reasons that I said yes to the project, because I knew it was going to be a challenge. Because one of my first questions to Sean was like, look, are we going to be doing some like fancy new stuff? Or are we going classic? And he's like, we're going classic. We're bringing it back old school. Like, we'd love to have you on board. And I was like, okay, that gets me interested. But along with that classic look, like you said, boxy, you know, it's not what people maybe would normally assume my style would fit well with. And I knew that, and I kind of wanted that challenge, which is one of the reasons why I said yes. And trying to figure it out was tough because, you know, when like drawing like a van and Murder Falcon, right? Like I would automatically tighten my wrist. And I wouldn't necessarily use a ruler, but, you know, I'd be stiff, you know, because I want it to look realistic. And I found myself doing that because it's they're mechanical things. You know, with the Transformers, the first issue, I'd be like I'd tighten up every time it was time for me to draw Optimus Prime's shoulder or whatever. And it just looked terrible. You know, it looked so stiff. I found that I really needed to let go and loosen up just like I would normally do with like a human character. Which is very organic. You know, I really, whenever I draw somebody human or a character that you see often in one of my stories, I'm drawing them quite fast because I have to draw them a million times on the page anyway. So I found that I needed to take that same attitude with the Transformers, because if I tried to draw the Transformers in a more precious way, they would just look stiff and lifeless. In order to give them life, I had to draw them like they were a human, you know, with my style. So it's like, throw away the technical pen and get the old brush. And I don't spin my page really when I draw much, you know, like a lot of old inkers do. So I can get every stroke to be exactly right. I find that to be just really boring and I can't stand it. But if I just attack the line. One of the reasons that I could always get away with that is, the way that I draw humans, you know, I just go and I'm moving pretty fast. But when you try and do that with Transformers and you have to draw a straight line, I get a little bit of this like Charles Schultz wave, you know, like a little wiggle.
Right. Yeah.
That's not on purpose. It's like an accident, like, 'cause I can't quite control it when I'm going this way, when drawing like a straight line and I'm not twisting the paper, and it just makes for a better looking thing. It just looks a little more lifelike. It's the best, dude.
I mean, I love hearing those process details. I will say in the book, when we see the ship,
yeah,
like straight out of the cartoon, first off, nostalgia hit. I feel like you were like, let me replicate. This feels like perfect. Like it feels like a photo. And I don't know if it's a photograph from my memory that you've somehow captured, but that feels intentional to me. And so you're hitting the nostalgia, and then you're getting into like, again, just a huge emotional, somewhat upsetting story for these guys.
Well, can I ask you about that? Because we meet this character, Spike, we meet his dad, and there's clearly some sort of loss that they've suffered, unspecified, probably, I would assume, to be rolled out throughout the rest of the series. That's something that really defines a lot of your work. Like you mentioned, do a power bomb. That's very much at the center there in terms of, spoiler, the loss of the mom. It's also at the center of Murder Falcon as well. What draws you back to that as a theme, a loss of a family member?
Maybe just all of my stories are like Lion King with different window dressing. Well, I don't know, dude. I feel that's a good question. Oh man, I wish I had a good answer for you. I don't know. Maybe because the stakes are a little easier to get into than like. I don't know. Then like, man, it's a great question. I don't have a good answer for you.
Well, I think here it really works because you got, and you lay this out very simply in the first page, you have a father and son who are not connecting, and the father is essentially, literally the way you lay out the paddles, being replaced by Optimus Prime, everybody's dad.
That's right.
So exactly. I assume that's kind of where the idea started from.
My
right?
truck dad.
Yeah. Truck dad. Truck daddy.
Truck daddy. Don't make it weird, man.
That's right. It's not weird. It's my life.
Yeah. Last time I was at Universal Studios, I was like, hey, there's Truck Daddy.
Hey, Truck Daddy. Stop. Vroom, vroom. Stop. Truck Daddy's home.
I found that a lot of those beats that you're mentioning, like with kind of the replacing, things that I didn't even do on purpose. Because when writing like an issue one script, you are kind of throwing darts into a dartboard that's like doesn't have any lights on. it's like each dart is like a character. You're like, I think they're going to do that. And then I think this one's going to do that. And you're kind of like building out a story kind of by math. Cause you're like, okay, I need to give this character drive and I need to give them a reason to like engage in some crazy thing they're going to do. But you're not quite knowing of the characters yet. You're like still figuring them out as people and as beings. So when you have them do stuff in the story, especially in those first few pages, you're like, I think this works. And then as you get further in, you get more confident in the decisions that you make. But a lot of it is just me like going like this, you know, like
doing 100 little magic tricks.
It's like, yeah, like I'm just going to make this storyline appear. And so because of that, I am grasping at things that make me feel and hopefully in turn will make other people feel. And that's the goal. And so oftentimes what you're reading in those first two pages is just a stressed out me trying to make some sort of connection with everyone else that might be reading it.
Well,
that's speaking, so interesting.
Let's let Pete talk, actually.
Yeah. I've been behaving this whole time. I need to geek out. Okay. First off, we've been mentioning amazing works here. Murder Falcon, unbelievable comic. Thank you so much. Do a power bomb. You know, got to say with exclamation point, unbelievable work of art. Thank you so much. I lost my mind when I read this Transformers comic. This was such a great combination. Justin talked about the nostalgia hit. Like, I really felt like a kid again, back seeing Optimus Prime, like whooping ass, like doing the things that I remember from my childhood. It was so awesome to see your art and then have a little heart infused that you like to bring to projects on Transformers. I felt like from someone who maybe got older and then the movies weren't made for me, I was kind of like, holy shit, I'm back. I'm back in it. I'm in the Transformers make sense to me again. Like, I was so excited. I am so happy that you got put on this project or jumped on this project, because I feel like it is such an amazing combination. What, as far as nostalgia or, you know, when you first got to Transformers, what was kind of important for you to bring in how you kind of did your version?
Well, it's kind of funny you asked that question, because you kind of answered my question. You answered it for yourself. All the feelings that you had reading the comic is literally the goal that I had making it, like pretty much to a T. I was trying to do this celebration of nostalgia and the things that I was feeling when I was a kid in a way that does not – nostalgia kind of has this like stink on it now, because it's been used so many times by so many different companies to like get you to buy shit. And it has this kind of like almost like – yeah, like a bit of a like negative connotation, you know, or like a side eye nostalgia. But, you know, I feel like nostalgia for a lot of us, especially for, you know, people who love pop culture and genre fiction, it's a kind of a window into like how we used to view the world when we were children in a way that hopefully would inspire like hope and a desire for fun. And like there's an openness to the world that maybe doesn't exist now in our old tattered bodies. And that's something that I was trying to celebrate with making Transformers, and having an element of playfulness and having an element of, you know, melancholy that I think belongs in stories like this. And also having like awesome robot battles and trying to give you this like cocktail of goodness that celebrates kind of like who we are as people. I'm sounding like such a dick right now, but
no. You're validating our lives.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for saying that.
Thank you.
We'll Truck keep doing Daddy's podcast. More human than all of us, really.
I can understand why you're kind of being like, I sound like a douchebag, but I think when sometimes you feel like you're being too corny by kind of, trying to be positive and stuff like that. So I appreciate it.
Well, and I also got to
– Yeah, go ahead. Go. Please ask your question.
I was going to say, like – reading this and like we see like the nostalgia hit like we're talking about, and then I'm like, oh, but all these toys are smashed. He smashed all the toys. But then that bed got me to thinking about Transformers, the show that first got us as kids, and I was like, they were depressed constantly on that show. They were like, we miss our planet, everything's going wrong, we try to help these people and
hate us for it.
That I was like, wait, that's not nostalgia, that's like taking the story and bringing it to us again in a way.
Well, can I ask you about a specific element of that, though? There's a big moment in this issue where I was like, oh no, these stakes are real, where you kill Bumblebee. Why'd you do that, Daniel? Why'd you kill Bumblebee? What led to the decision to kill Bumblebees?
There's a few reasons, okay? One is I cannot stand it when you're watching a TV show, reading a novel, comic book, where you know some bad dude is going to do something bad, and they don't do it until, like, issue 4 or episode 4. You know, it's like maybe they insult somebody, but they don't actually blow somebody's head off until, like, halfway through the series. I want to know what a character is all about within the first few pages. And I feel like in a lot of ways, it's what helps drive story forward when you have that open conflict. I call it It's the Stranger Things problem, when nobody actually says how they're feeling when they really should be. if characters just honest with themselves in the script, then like we would be done with the story like 6 episodes shorter and everything would be better for it. We got to pull it apart like silly putty, and it just gets like less and less interesting as it drops lower and lower. So one of those things is like Starscream is a bad dude.
Yeah, he is.
If I'm a bad dude and I see this helpless piece of crap yellow Autobot right next to me and I'm alive and he's just there for the taking, I'm gonna blow his head off. Like, I'm just gonna do it. That's what he would do. And it's like, no stepping around it, no like pretending. Oh, this is great. Boom.
Well, and I assume that ties into what happens at the end of the issue, which is a real human murder where one of the Decepticons squeezes a guy like a tube of toothpaste.
Squish.
Yes.
Yeah. So same sort of thing there. Just like they're going to do it. So why not let them do it?
Yeah. It's like I just try and be like, okay, if this was actually a thing that happened, like, and if this is an actual character, you know, I'd just be like, well, yeah, this is kind of fun. I have no patience for any other realm of storytelling. That's the goal. And actually, it's really funny. I didn't know this, but there's a Hasbro point person. His name is Michael, who is kind of the liaison between Hasbro, the and Skybound, the comics making company. And, you know, he's like our satellite. And the one thing he asked, he's like, hey, would you mind maybe not having Bumblebee part of the first cast of the Autobots? And I didn't know. That was not relayed to me at all. God. So, like,
no problem, dude.
He gets the first pages. He's like, well, Michael, you're going to be happy because Bumblebee doesn't make out of the first 3 pages of seeing the Transformers.
Oh, my God. I did want to get back and talk about the coordination a little bit because in Void Rivals, we got to see Jetfire. I think it's Jetfire, right? Is been down, gone for 1,000 years. Then flies off, shows up here, ultimately also dies in this issue. What was the coordination like there? What were you told? Was it just like, hey, you got to have him show up and wake everybody up? Or was it while you were all breaking story? How did that work?
So I didn't do much breaking story because Robert had this big document that he had pitched Hasbro initially that they were very happy with. So when I was approached to do the project, they sent me the document before I even signed on the dotted line. They asked me to like, hey, are you okay with this? You know, we kind of have this outline that we've kind of made and there's some big moments that happen. And I read over it and I was like, these are some cool ideas. I'm happy to be a part of this. And one of those things was in Void Rivals, Jetfire is going to show up and he's the one that activates the Autobots. And that's going to be kind of the impetus for how the story starts. And I said, that's great. But you know, a lot of that characterization and the bridges between these big islands of big moments were all up to me. So like, as Jetfire is talking, you know, I'm the one writing that dialogue and I'm like, I think I was the one who came up with the fact that he had no idea about Autobot and Decepticon. I feel like that's maybe some lore thing that I took from anyway. So I don't want to like claim that I came up with that, but that was my choice to have that in there. And it was my choice for him to be like, to try and stop the fighting and to try and stop Starscream from blowing up Optimus Prime when he makes that last ditch effort. So a lot of that kind of coordination is coming from this kind of master document that Robert had made. But a lot of it, a lot of like the personal moments and those human elements that you kind of get in issue one and of the action set pieces, those are all mine. And I've had a lot of agency within that, which has been really fun. Also, it's kind of nice to like know you're building towards something bigger than yourself because somebody else has made the hard decisions and you can just kind of chill. yeah. Which after do a power bomb, you know, I was ready to chill. Like working on Transformers is easy compared to do a power bomb.
I just wanted to ask one follow-up real quick. The opposite end of the spectrum, are you setting anything else up here? Like we find out that Spike's dad was probably in some sort of war. Is that in any way setting up the Duke series? Is it setting up G.I. Joe things? Or is that contained in Transformers?
Okay. Wobbly shoulders right there. Those are some wobbly shoulders.
That's my answer.
All right. Fair enough. Justin?
That's a good answer. I was going to say, I find it interesting. Well, two things, I guess. You talk about writing story as like math. When I feel like everyone's like, your stories are intensely emotional. So how do you translate that? How does that math become emotion? Or is it, like you said, like, I want to say what's happening so it's out there and I'm not being coy with anything. And that's where the emotion just like punches through.
I think with those, that kind of like not being afraid to go places, that's more of a bad guy element, I think. It's kind of like, it's a great catalyst for conflict in that way when I approach storytelling in that way. But when it comes to those human elements and throwing darts on a dartboard, you know, I call it math because it can feel a little mechanical and not like right here. Yeah. I did the same exact thing with Do a Power Bomb. In that first issue of Do a Power Bomb, like when she loses her mom, I'm like dead inside. I do not feel anything. You know, like, and then her mom dies in a ring and they're at the hospital and I'm over here like drawing it. I'm like, I wonder if this works. Like, I really don't know. And then by issue seven, I'm there. I'm like, yeah. I'm writing that scene. I'm making myself cry on the plane. You know, I'm in it. But like,
I love that. That's so interesting. You see, it sneaks up on you too. Just like us. Wow.
And it's hard because like, you know, I'm like hard. Every time I work on a new project, like creator owned or not, I'm like, maybe this works, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. It's just it's an adventure every single time, and it's always an exercise in eating a big old humble salad because I'm like, I really don't know if this works every single time. Like every time, Murder Falcon, Wonder Woman, you know, Transformers. Like it's all when I'm writing it. It's like, I'm wooden. I'm like, this works because it works in like how to write a storybook. Like, you know, the chapter one, how to give characters drive, make them have a want. Like, well, they want this and I'll write this, you know?
I also love that instead of humble pie, you eat humble salad, which is a healthy alternative. Healthier.
Yeah, that's smart.
I guess
smart.
So. It tastes worse.
That's true.
Quick question. Well, hopefully, because I think I'm probably going to get another shoulder wiggle here. We get a tease that something happened with Megatron, or they don't want to talk about Megatron in some way. Are we going to see Megatron at some point in the series?
There it is.
The shoulder wiggle. That's an even wigglier.
You love the shoulder wiggle.
That's even wigglier.
The whole time you were talking, I was like, how can I get another shoulder wiggle?
Well, to that end, though, how much of this, I know you said there's the big story document that Robert Kirkman came up with. How much of this do you have planned out at this point? How long are you potentially planning on staying on Transformers? Do you have a like 30 issue Uber story? Oh my God, so many shoulder wiggles again.
That's a full body wiggle.
I did it before you finished your question. I apologize.
feeling the
for
wiggle.
For sure, I'm writing another 6 issues after the 6 that I write and draw.
Okay, awesome.
After that, we'll see.
Okay.
Right. And what can you tease about what's coming forward other than shoulder wiggles in issue 2 and beyond?
Yeah, of course. Starscream squishing more people.
Yes.
Soundwave being really sad about Ravage.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Matrix of Leadership.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wow. Matrix of Leadership.
Awesome. Ooh. And just to kind of wrap up here, to get back to what you were saying earlier, how... I know this isn't exactly a break for you. You still have a lot of work, but given that you were saying you wanted to take this on because you wanted to try something different, now that you're deep in it, how does that feel? How are you feeling on the cusp of the release or the release of this book?
I'm feeling good. I can't, I'm like too close, dude. I'm like too in the weeds.
Yeah.
I can't really like, it's hard for me right now to like zoom out and be like, I did a good job. I am
still in it.
Yeah, I'm still in it. The deadlines are really intense right now. You know, I am, it's project's going great, but it is a different animal working with a company like Hasbro where they're like making notes on things. Where I'm like, it should be this way. And, you know, they have, you know, other opinions, which is fine. It's part of the gig. Yeah, but that's another thing where it's like, I'm learning and it's getting stretched in that way on how to still make something that I feel is awesome. I am really proud of the work that I'm doing. I don't know. It's hard sometimes to be super confident about it. I mean, I wish I could be over and be like, yeah, it would feel great. 150,000 copies, you know. But I don't know. I'm just doing my best. And I mean, I still have to change my kid's diaper like every day.
Every like, day?
Sometimes multiple times in my experience.
Like three times a day. Oh, my God. Yeah. So I win my Eisner. I win my Eisner. I get on the plane. I have an Eisner. It's in my carry-on. And the first thing, my wife's like, Bo, we'll take care of this.
I just want to, in case you're not confident, I think you are killing this. I mean, that cover alone, when I was, holding it, I was just like, oh, my God. I feel like I'm about to go on an amazing adventure. So I think you're killing it, and just want to, again, say thank you for your work and sacrifice, because it comes through the page and makes for other people's lives to be more enjoyable. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, Pete, because I have people like you in my head as I'm drawing these scenes.
Uh-oh.
I'd be like,
uh-oh.
Yeah, Pete gets picked up and squished. No, I'm like, you know, there's a lot of people like you guys, like you people, like everyone that I know have read my stuff and had a really positive experience with it. And that's one of the reasons why I hesitate to answer when you ask about how I'm feeling, because I feel I just really don't want to let anybody down. Aww. That's mostly what it is.
Like it shows in the work. Mm-hmm. And awesome. And let me say, like, I feel like you're not crying on the plane yet, but maybe you're getting close for this book in relation to the others. And I love that you're talking about this book as a vacation from like your other work, because this also feels intensely emotional. Shouts to you on this Mark Daiquiri trip that you're on, making this awesome comic book.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Really congratulations, Daniel. Pleasure chatting with you. Thank you so much for coming on. I can't wait to read the second issue. And if you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Transformers or literally anything else. Apple, Android, Spotify, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. At Comic Book Live on Twitter/X. Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, transform and roll out.
Vroom, vroom, Truck Daddy's home.
More than meets the eye.
We all said things.
Of the day.
Truck Daddy. Yeah, exactly. You know what? I may have to have Starscream say Truck Daddy.
Let's go.
Yes.
That's a classic villain line for sure.